What is going on, guys? Welcome to episode 2 of the PMO podcast. And here this week, we're going to be covering Raw, SmackDown, and we're also going to be giving our predictions on this Friday's pay-per-view. So without further ado, let's just get underway. So to start off Raw, we had Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns came out and he cut a promo and he got attacked by the Revival. Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. What did you think about that?
The same old thing we've been seeing. Roman comes out and gets beat the hell out of. It's kind of the same thing that we've seen on Raw. And this was probably the only flaw on SmackDown. I'm just tired of seeing Shane McMahon at this point. But this is what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be a heel. He's supposed to get on our nerves. But I'm just tired of seeing the same thing. So I can't wait till they're finished with this feud. Because it's basically Miz copy and paste.
Right, that's what I was about to say. I feel like this is the exact same situation that The Miz was in. And, I mean, it did nothing for The Miz. It kind of buried him, in a sense, and he hasn't really been doing anything since that feud finished last pay-per-view.
Right.
But it seems as though it's literally the same exact storyline, just with a different character. And I don't mind Shane. In the ring, I feel like Shane's pretty good. You know, he's very entertaining.
He keeps up.
Yeah, he does those very high-flying moves that does make up for his in-ring ability. Because obviously, you know, he's not the best in the ring. He's not in there every week.
Right.
But, I don't know, like seeing him once a year is cool, but we've had 3 months of this Shane thing, and it's kind of just dry. Especially with it being the same thing that happened with The Miz. So I'm not even really interested in that match coming Friday.
Exactly.
Like, that's kind of a match where you go to the bathroom, you get some popcorn kind of thing.
Yeah. And I like to see the Revival getting some more TV time. But I would like them to see them as a tag team. You know, I like the little feud they had with the Usos. Maybe I see it's getting a little bit more serious, so hopefully they get some more TV time because they also a great tag team. So.
Right, for sure, for sure. But all right, next we had the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse. And what did you think of this week's episode?
Very, very, very good. As, right now, Bray is just, he's phenomenal. Everyone's giving him support, love. And at this point, I'm just ready to see him in the ring. I love the Firefly House, but I'm ready to see him in the ring. I'm ready to see his new gimmick. I'm ready to see if he's going to be by himself. Maybe he'll have some friends. I'm just ready to see who he's going to feud with. So I'm just ready altogether.
Yeah, I think this week's Firefly Funhouse episode was pretty good. I think last week's was a little underwhelming. Last week's kind of just there wasn't much to it. And it was pretty short. But this week's I felt was very interesting to see another side of Bray.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some things in there where it was like the Huskus.
Yeah.
That was obviously a shot at his old gimmick.
Love that.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool to see and hear and talk about. And then also with the Vince McMahon as the devil. That was pretty interesting. I was curious if Vince knew about that beforehand, if Vince approved it, or if Bray kind of went behind his back.
I think at this point, Vince understands who he is and what people
and
think
he just
he
lets
is.
Bray do Bray.
Exactly.
That's what I think. So I'm curious how Vince's thought process was after he saw that. You know, like, yo, this guy just portrayed me as the devil.
Exactly.
So that was pretty funny. But up next, I mean, we're skipping a lot of Raw. There wasn't really a lot going on in it.
Because it was a terrible show.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all. So we're skipping a lot of it. I mean, there's obviously stuff in between.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the main points in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the next thing we want to really bring up is the Randy Orton versus Triple H promo that kind of builds the hype up to this Friday. What'd you think about that?
It was great, man. Obviously, in the past, they had great run-ins, and now they're a little bit older, so now, you know, the promos, I didn't expect this promo to be great. I didn't expect Randy to talk about Triple H balls, and I can understand where he's coming from, because some people say Triple H has gotten soft, and now Stephanie Mann is the harder one, so I can't wait for this match. I got Randy winning. I guess that's a quick prediction right there. But I do got Randy winning. I know Triple H, I mean, I might gotta go back. I'm not sure because it's been true. Triple H has defeated everyone that came at him, and they're gone now. So, matter of fact, I switched my prediction. I'm going back to Triple H after talking about it. So yeah, I'm gonna pick Triple H.
All right. We'll get to my prediction later on in the show. But yeah, I thought that promo was pretty good. It seems as though everything Randy touches turns to gold. I've always thought that. I
Yes.
think Randy's one of the best in the ring on the mic. You
Absolutely.
know, he's naturally gifted. You know, he's, if you build up a superstar from scratch and you can create him, you know, Randy's the guy that you kind of build.
Absolutely.
You know, he can be a heel,
Absolutely.
he can be a face. And it's always entertaining to see him in the ring. Obviously, he is getting older. He has a family now, a wife and a kid.
Exactly.
So he is spending less time on the road. But I think I'd like to see a little more Randy. Maybe not in the main event picture, but you know,
Right.
throw him on the IC
I want to
title
see with a
picture,
belt. Yeah, I want to see with
or
a belt.
throw him on the US title picture, and you know, help build up some
Yeah.
superstars.
Or, you know, instead of just giving it to a superstar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not even gonna bring up Samoa Joe. Just yeah, whatever. But anyways, yeah, I thought that was it's good to see that rivalry. I thought
Yeah.
Randy and Triple H have always had some good bouts going on in the past. It's kind of like Randy and Cena. You know, it's just
Yeah.
something you can always go to that's always going to be good. So I think
Yeah,
that's
great
why
rivalry
WWE is doing that. Yeah.
there. Yeah.
But up next, we had the Taker promo. And the Taker promo, you know, you said this last night too. Taker was going to have about 3 minutes to cut a promo. And I mean, granted, it's Taker. He
Right.
doesn't do too many long promos anyways. He's a man
Right.
of very few words.
Exactly.
But the fact that his entrance was longer than his freaking
Yes, I knew it was
promo.
going to happen, bro.
And
I
you
seen
know,
this.
it's been like that with Taker the past few years. His match against Cena at WrestleMania, his freaking entrance was longer than the match.
And I believe I'm just assuming this. Taker mindset is, why the hell is Cesaro and Ricochet going to take this long after we done seen them 3 times?
Yeah.
We've seen them 3 times, you know, this being the third match they had against each other. And he took up most of Taker's time, which is ridiculous. And
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Taker would like to have said more. You know, Taker doesn't really get to talk, so especially with this match coming up and how hyped this match is, I'm pretty sure Taker wanted to see more. So it was sad to see Raw just playing this out. I think the timing was terrible.
Right.
The timing was terrible.
Right. Yeah, I will give this Raw literally a 4 out of 10, if that. I mean,
Terrible,
the only reason why I give it a 4, not anything lower, is because of Bray.
man.
But I mean, it felt like the same recycle thing over and over again. It's Roman coming out,
Yeah.
starting off, and then
Exactly.
being attacked by someone, you know, Shane, Drew, and the Revival. It just felt the same. And with the Ricochet and Cesaro
Exactly.
match, you know, that's the third
Done.
time we've seen them in a row.
Yep.
And my big thing was, you know, okay, this match is—it's a fine match, right? They have
Right.
some chemistry in the ring, but you brought up it should have had a stipulation, whether it was a title opportunity, number one contender match, or something like that. Put
Right,
some worth into it,
exactly.
and it had absolutely no worth, and it just made me even less interested. But my biggest thing was Ricochet does the 450 splash as his finishing move. That's the second match against Cesaro 2 weeks in a row that he's won off of a roll-up pin. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't understand that, man. The booking is terrible. Honestly, and the thing is, you have two of your best wrestlers going against each other. Let them go against other people. We understand, yes, it's a great match. They had a great match their first and second time. But we don't want to continuously see them go against each other unless it's for something, unless it's a stipulation, unless it's for a title, unless it's for a number one contenders match. Like, we want to see that. We don't want to see them go against each other for nothing.
Right.
That's my problem, for nothing.
Yeah, but overall, I give Raw 4 out of 10, and that's
Yeah.
being generous.
Yeah, I'm at a 2.
Fair enough. Yeah, but I mean, with Raw, it's just the same thing over and over again. But moving on to SmackDown, I thought was a lot better than Raw.
Yes, it was.
I give SmackDown probably an 8 out of 10.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. Eight.
You know, I thought a couple things could have been better, and we'll get into what I think could have gotten better and what could have been better. but overall, it wasn't the same thing over and over again. Maybe the past few weeks with Kofi and Dolph, but I mean, that's just building up a rivalry kind of thing. But to start off the show, Kofi came out, you know, with Xavier Woods throwing pancakes, you know, doing the New Day thing, minus Big E. We all miss Big E. But Kofi came out, cut a good promo, typical Kofi. And then Dolph comes out, and Dolph comes out a good promo. He cuts one as well, you know, saying it should have been him. Yep. You know, he's worked his ass off, and, you know, he hasn't been getting the same chances. Overall, good promo. And then right after those promos, it was Kofi and Xavier Woods versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Uh-huh. And this match wasn't bad either.
Oh, not at all. It wasn't too bad.
I do feel as though KO and Sammy are both so good on the mic, it's hard not to give them any mic time.
Yes.
I mean, they're two of the best superstars on the mic, especially right now. So, I mean, I don't mind that match. I just would have liked, you know, KO and Sammy, you know, having a promo or something there. The New Day did win that match, but Dolph did end up attacking the New Day afterwards. And again, that's just kind of building up this match coming up this Friday.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, if you have KO and Sammy win, or, you know, just something, then Sammy and KO can cut a promo after the match. Because that's what Sammy's been doing. He's been cutting promos after his matches.
Yep.
You know, give them a chance, too, to talk and do all of their business. But
And a quick thought here, because obviously we didn't get to see Daniel and Rowan today, SmackDown, which is bad. But I would like to see KO and Sammy in a feud with Daniel and Rowan. I wonder how that would be. I just thought about that because I was thinking, did I see Daniel Bryan tonight? And we didn't. And
you know, I think the reason why we didn't see Daniel is because he's not traveling to Saudi Arabia or wherever this pay per view is.
Okay. I didn't think of that. That's a great point.
No, KO and Sammy aren't traveling either, but I think that'd be too many superstars to not have on SmackDown.
Okay.
I know Daniel's not traveling. I don't know about Rowan. I'm assuming Rowan's not just because Daniel's not. But
exactly. Which hurts, though, man, because and it's not Daniel's fault. I'm assuming it's not Daniel's fault, but Daniel made one of the best promos I've seen in a long time in how he hyped up them tag team titles. But the thing is, I want him to stick to it. I want to see them dominate the tag team division. I want to see them make it main event WrestleMania. But obviously, it's just we're not seeing them constantly or consistently. You know?
Right. So, and I think that does have to do with this coming Friday and the pay-per-view on Friday. Hopefully after that, they kind of get back to their normal programming where they're on every week. I think they're focusing on other things right now because of this. Like this week especially, I mean, this week you had Randy and Triple H promo, you had a Taker promo on Raw, and then you had the Goldberg promo on SmackDown. So that's three things that aren't going to be there next week.
Yep.
So, you know, that's 20 minutes on Raw that's going to be wide open. And that's, you know, 10 minutes on SmackDown that's going to be open. So, I mean, they could very easily just go back to the regular scheduled programming. So I do think that has something to do with, you know, Daniel not being on the show and a couple other things.
Yeah.
But hopefully they give them a run.
Yeah, and quick thing, and it says about how good SmackDown is. SmackDown right now is the best show. It's not Raw. 100%. SmackDown was the best show. Not saying SmackDown was the best brand. The best brand is NXT. Far, far beyond that. But right now, SmackDown is the best brand. That says a lot, saying that, in my opinion, the best wrestler wasn't there, which is Daniel Bryan. The best mic guy wasn't there, which is Daniel Bryan. So it says a lot about SmackDown right now. They're also carrying their own right now. Carrying their own.
And I think, again, with Daniel's promo that he cut a few weeks ago, that was really, really interesting and really good. I think that was just bad timing because of this pay-per-view coming up this Friday. You know, if there wasn't this pay-per-view on Friday and there was just a normal pay-per-view, whether it's this Sunday or in 2 weeks at Stomping Ground, I think we'd be seeing a lot more Daniel. But because he's not traveling, I think they're kind of punishing him a little bit and not giving him any TV time. And we also don't know whether or not he even wants to be on TV right now. I mean, he loves wrestling. We know that. But right. He also has a wife and he has a kid that I'm sure he would love to see grow up.
His daughter, yeah. He loves his daughter, man.
You know, so I'm sure he's not stressing about not being on TV to a certain extent. I mean, like yeah. I said, we know he loves wrestling. And I'm sure what yeah. he said in that promo with trying to have the tag team championship be in the main event of WrestleMania, because we've seen right. women in it now. We've mm-hmm. seen the men in it. We haven't seen
anything's possible
tag team match. Yeah. So I'm sure he does want that to happen. But at the same time, he's like, you know what? I'm not on SmackDown this week. Fine by me. I'll go fly home to Seattle or Scottsdale, yeah. Arizona and see my beautiful daughter and wife.
That's a great thing. Great point you brought up about Daniel Bryan, because I remember the WrestleMania when he lost to Kofi. It was a segment, not mm-hmm. a segment. It was like a little video backstage, and his daughter, which Bella is he dating?
He's right dating Brie.
Brie, and she was with her, or he's she was with Brie. The daughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was with the daughter, and he held his daughter. He hugged his daughter for about a good 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't let her go, and I was like, man.
Yeah.
I cannot see this man working here too much longer.
Oh, 100%. Especially with his health at risk.
Yes.
I think he just wanted to get back to it to kind of prove to himself that he can still do it.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Now that he can do it and he's doing it, how long does he want to do it for, you know? Because he did get a concussion during that match against Kofi. Now we do know when that happened, and it was when Kofi was doing those stomps on Daniel's head. So that can be yes. something that's also easily avoidable.
Right.
So I think he could still easily wrestle again and wrestle consistently. But to me, I hate seeing Daniel wrestle. I love him in the ring, so I don't mean I hate him because he's bad. But it scares me every single time I see him in the ring, and he's doing uh-huh. his dives, and he's doing his headbutts.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
Yeah.
Think about after wrestling, my guy.
Yeah. It comes with the job, man.
Comes
with the job. Yep. Well, it's like any profession, you know?
Yeah, NBA, but NFL. I mean, you've seen people change their style of wrestling before, and
that's true.
It seems as though he refuses to change his style. I'm like, oh my gosh, please get up after that, please.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. But all in all, I love Daniel. Hopefully we see a lot more of him.
Yes.
Hopefully next week's podcast, we're talking about how we saw Daniel and how not how we didn't. So, again, I think after this Friday's pay-per-view, I think things will kind of go back to normal. We'll have some more time for other things and other promos. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
But up next, we had the moment of bliss. And, I mean, it was a typical thing. Bayley was the guest on the show. And
mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss was trying to, you know, bait.
Sorry, I'm not sure about that.
Jesus. Excuse me. Bait Bayley into having...
Sorry.
Okay. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. This is our first episode. Forgive us.
All right. So Alexa Bliss was trying to bait Bayley into, you know, kind of having a woman's match, you know, for the title or whatnot. And Carmella came out and Charlotte came out after that. And Charlotte announced that they're going to have a triple threat numbers one contender match.
Yes.
And my only issue with this match is that they have so many other women on the roster, especially the SmackDown roster. Remember, Alexa Bliss is on Raw. So many women on the SmackDown roster that could be in this match, and it's such a perfect opportunity to give one of these other women a push.
Exactly.
Whether it's, well, Nikki Cross is getting a push on Raw, and, you know, that's very deserving, and I love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Kairi Sane? You know, ever since they got brought up by Paige, her and Asuka, they haven't done anything.
Yeah, and I just thought of something else too, but back to what I was saying, this wild card rule sucks. I mean, Alexa could do it because of the wild card rule, and it sucks because we're not seeing wrestlers get their shine. I had to go out of topic real quick, but Can we get Mustafa Ali back on TV, please?
I forgot all about him.
Yeah. We haven't seen him since he touched the Money in the Bank thing, the briefcase, and then Brock came out. We haven't seen him. So it's like,
I forgot all about him.
Yeah, man. That's another great talent in the ring. But back to Bliss. She's great. I love Bliss. But what is Carmella doing there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know what? That's fine having Alexa Bliss be in that match, and that's fine having Charlotte be in that match. But if you want to really get Asuka back, or is it Asuka or Oksana?
Asuka,
okay. Oksana is an older wrestler. If you want to give Asuka a push and back to the top, like where she should be, and where she was, you put her in that match, you have her win that match against two of the other top, like the two of the top women.
Yep.
You know, that puts her right back in the top. And, you know, that gets her in the conversation. You know, she's looking good again. Exactly. Or, you know, you could throw some of these other women in there. I mean, you have Mandy Rose and Deville standing on the outside. Why not have them in the match?
Exactly. And then, like, what's the point of, like, having Asuka with this tag team with Kairi Sane and the Iconics not even defending their belts? It's no point in having right now those belts. They don't mean anything, and it sucks. It sucks, and you know
that's getting a little off topic. That's also the same exact thing with the Raw SmackDown title or the Raw tag team titles. Excuse me.
Exactly.
Nowhere. Honestly, the tag team titles. If you think about it, was Daniel even on? Daniel was on TV last week, right? Yeah. They got interrupted last week, but were the Raw tag team titles on Raw last week? When was the last time we saw Zack Ryder?
I don't remember, man. They lost to the War Raiders. That's the last time we seen them, I believe.
When was that?
That was probably 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
It wasn't even a title match. Exactly. And we haven't seen them since, and they have the titles. And then you have the women's tag team titles, and they're not defending them at all. We not see an issue here? But anyways, whatever, man. Anyways, so Alexa Bliss wins that match. So Alexa is going to take on Bayley at Stomping Ground in 2 weeks. Yep. Remember, there is no woman on this pay-per-view this coming Friday. So we're going to see that match in 2 weeks. And I mean, that's going to be a great match. But again, that it could have been an opportunity given to someone else that maybe should have a push. I mean, that was a perfect opportunity to push someone that hasn't been pushed before, or maybe that needs to get the push to get back on top, like Asuka, for example. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't do it. And another thing is, what was the point in... So on Monday, we had Nikki Cross defeat one of the Iconics.
Yes, Peyton Royce.
Yes, she defeated Peyton Royce, and Alexa Bliss was ringside. Well, what are they going to do with that now? Because it seemed as though, but before SmackDown tonight, it seemed as though
they was in line.
They were going to be a tag team between Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. Now that Alexa Bliss has a women's SmackDown title match, what are the Iconics going to do now? That just completely, in literally one night, in 24 hours, they conflicted themselves. They made it look like Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss were going to go against the Iconics in 2 weeks of Stomping Ground. And then in 24 hours, now Alexa Bliss is going to go against Bayley at Stomping Ground. Where does that leave the Iconics?
Leaves them nowhere. You know what it leaves them? It leaves them doing photo shoots and doing commercials and making money for Vince.
It's not even... The Iconics aren't even that bad in the ring. Sure, they're not the greatest, but you know what? They do their job as a heel. They're so annoying, people hate them. That's the point of being a heel. And they're not... Like I said, they're not bad in the ring. They're not making the titles worthless. It's Vince and the WWE creative making the titles worthless. Yeah. It's not who has the title.
Yep.
And, you know, that's not fair to the Iconics either. Screwed.
Yeah, and it's so sad to see those titles go down a drain. Because when Sasha and Bayley won those titles, they cried. Those titles actually meant
something. I mean, I've been asking for that title for years. I've always wanted a women's title. I feel like that should have been a thing a long time ago. I mean, we've had all these women tag team matches in the past. Exactly. Why not throw a title in there? And they finally do, and it's worthless. You know, we don't. When was the last time we had a title defense?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many potential tag teams you can make. Like,
right.
Well, I would like to see, I don't know if they on the same brand, Ember Moon and Naomi. Something like that.
They are not. Naomi was drafted of Raw, I believe, and Ember is on SmackDown.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Vince would still make the wild card move, you know? Like, the wild card sucks. I'm going to continue to say it sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm still to this day, I'm always say the wild card was made for Roman so we can see more Roman.
Right.
Have a reason to see more Roman. When I seen Roman got drafted to SmackDown, I was like, there's no way in hell we're only going to see Roman on SmackDown. And sure enough, we've been seeing him on Monday Night Raw.
Right. Wasted talent. Wasted talent.
Absolutely.
Speaking of wasted talent, Elias went against R-Truth. That was a pretty good segue, huh? Elias went against R-Truth in a lumberjack match. So there were all the typical superstars that have gone for the 24/7 title were lumberjacks in that match. And, I mean, it was a quick two-minute match. Elias beats R-Truth. Right. Elias is the new 24/7 champion. But remember, all of the people that want the 24/7 title, you know, all of the jobbers, they go into the ring. They see Elias. Now that Elias is a champion, Elias has to defend it. Elias somehow gets out of the ring, being untouched. And outside the ring, he meets R-Truth. Yep. Him and R-Truth go underneath the ring with a referee. And next thing you know, we hear the ring bell, and R-Truth is now the new 24/7 champion. Is he a 3 or 4-time champion now? I think he's a 4.
4.
Yeah, I think he's a 4-time 24/7 champion within 2 weeks. So that has to be a new record.
Absolutely.
And Elias is a 2-time 24/7 champion now. It'll be interesting to see when R-Truth retires and they show all of his titles. If it's actually going to say 4-time 24/7 champion.
And this is so funny to me because you're such a big fan of Elias and they keep just drowning this man. He's drowning now.
I love Elias.
Obviously, he's not with Shane as much no more.
Right.
Like, I can see him drifting away from Shane, and for him, he wanted to lose. It just shows they...
Well, this is 2 weeks in a row he's won the title. And yep, this is exactly. 2 weeks in a row where I'm like, okay, finally, some legitimacy to this title. You know, this can give Elias a platform to, you know, show how good he is. This can be Elias's platform to show how funny he is, you know, outside of the ring, backstage. And this can be a chance for the title to kind of get some, you know, some legitimacy and not change hands every 2 seconds. And within a minute, both weeks, he loses the title. And I'm just thinking, are you kidding me? Yeah, Elias is so good in the ring. He is so good on the mic. When he gets in the ring and he says WWE stands for, even when he freaking trashes the crowd and talks about how their hometown team sucks,
they still
chant WWE stands for Walk with Elias. Yep. That's how over he has been.
Yep.
And it's crazy to me how he's able to trash a hometown team. For example, the Seattle Supersonics. He makes fun of Seattle.
Yeah,
and then he can say, he did it that night, but he could easily say WWE stands for Walk with Elias. And within 2 seconds, they go from hating him to loving him. There's no superstar like that.
Exactly, man.
Yeah, and it just blows my mind that they're wasting him.
Once again, man, he's going down the drain. Just like Braun going down the drain.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it took a couple of years for CM Punk to finally get his footing into WWE. And then, you know, he debuted in 2006 on ECW. And he wasn't honest. I mean, he won a few championships before then, but he wasn't honestly the man he was until 2011.
Right.
So, you know, it does take time to build superstars. Some superstars go to the main roster and go to the top right away. And some take time. And hopefully that's Elias's case.
And quick point, I know I bring this up. I'm probably going to bring this up every time we do a podcast. I'm begging that NXT, just no one on NXT goes up.
I actually saw a report that a lot of NXT superstars are requesting their WWE release because they don't want to get called up.
Exactly. And by the way, TakeOver is fantastic. Quick point, right? TakeOver is fantastic. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on social media. Which was better, TakeOver or Double or Nothing? If I had to choose, I say Double or Nothing. But right now, NXT is on the rise, and I'm so scared because right now you have two guys right now who can carry this company if they just stick with their own gig and Triple H crafts them. You got Valentin Dream and Matt Riddle. Those two guys are just gold, and I'm so scared that Vince is going to kill them. And I'm hoping they just stay another couple years, maybe. Maybe Vince just trips on something and he's out for a while, and then Triple H takes
over. All right.
Yeah, but like I said, man, I love NXT, man. They've grown on me since last year. I really started watching them last year. They've grown on me, man. They great talent. They a family. They're right. A family. They love what they do. They love getting better, and hopefully, man, Vince doesn't get their hands on them.
You know what? If WWE was smart, and we'll stay on this NXT topic for a minute. If NXT was smart, or if WWE was smart, they would make NXT the third brand, like how ECW was.
Yeah.
They make it the third brand, they put it on TV, and they have Triple H still be in charge of it. So that way, it's equal to SmackDown and Raw.
Vince is not going to let that happen.
Right. No.
Yep.
But if they were smart, they were trying to get a TV deal for it, because that's the only thing that people like right now, really. That and Bray Wyatt. So you get a TV deal on that, you put that on TV, and there's so many possibilities you can do with NXT being a third brand. I mean, you can easily have a brand invasion during the Survivor Series kind of time of the year in November, you know, where, you know, NXT is being looked down as the third brand, the little brother. NXT is not worth it. NXT is not worthy of being their own brand. And NXT kind of claps back, and NXT, you know, fights Raw and SmackDown, and, you know, shows that they're worthy. I mean, there's so many stories that can be written with just that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be something I'd be interested in. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to happen. But, I mean, people treat NXT as the third brand anyways. And third brand, I mean, just in numbers. People say NXT is better than Raw or SmackDown by far.
I've watched,
not the third brand.
And quick point, I've watched so many NXT interviews. When they do interviews, like, not like on like the actual network, but like, on YouTube interviews,
right,
and they always make this point: we're the best brand, and they know it. They know they're the best brand, right. and that's saying, because SmackDown had a decent show today, which was 8 out of 10. With NXT, and I'm not trying to overhype them. I'm not. NXT never has a 9 or below show. Their right. show is either 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10. And TakeOver, their TakeOver is 10 out of 10. It's just they always come. They always come. Just like this TakeOver that was like 2 days before WrestleMania or a day.
Right.
It was better than WrestleMania. I hate to say it, but it was. Triple H is killing the game right now.
And, I think a big reason for that is Triple H was a wrestler and Vince wasn't.
God, yeah.
So Triple H knows what's good and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Also has Shawn Michaels running it with him.
Right,
Shawn Michaels
right.
is rolling death with NXT right now.
You know, and again, I think the difference between Triple H and Vince is Triple H looks at the wrestling standpoint.
Yeah.
And Vince, to me, looks at what's going to bring in the most money.
Exactly.
And that's the difference in the two.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes up with it. I mean, I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks now, what comes up with the XFL starting in 2020.
Yeah.
If Vince isn't going to be able to focus his time on both, he's going to have to pick one or the other, and I think he's going to pick the XFL because he's put so much money into that recently. So it's going to be interesting to see if he passes it along to Triple H, and if Triple H can, you know, turn things around. And, I mean, Vince is blaming the superstars for the ratings being so low and whatnot, but honestly, it's no one's fault but Vince's. And until he realizes that, AEW is going to come around in October, and AEW is going to take over the game. So the sooner Vince realizes that it's kind of him, his fault, the better for WWE. Because as soon as Hunter takes over, I mean, I don't know if we're going to be able to kind of see everything right away change, but maybe within the next, you know, let's say Hunter takes over next week. Mm-hmm. Within a year, I think things will be different.
Oh,
I
mean, absolutely.
Obviously, you kind of like, for example, if you it's like when you get a brand new head coaching job in football, you kind of got to get rid of the old coach's seeds and the things he planted.
Yep.
And then you got to bring your own in. So you kind of have to get rid of what's been done in the past and then move forward before you can move forward.
Yep.
You know, so I think Hunter will have to kind of finish out Vince's storylines that he has in place, and then Hunter can do his own thing. But it'll be interesting to see what the XFL coming up.
Yep.
But one thing I did wanted to bring up, and I know I didn't put this in our notes, but I wanted to bring up Aleister Black's promo tonight on SmackDown. I don't know if you watched it or not.
Yeah, I did. I had to think about it for a second.
That promo to me was one of the best promos I've seen from him.
Yeah,
and it was really interesting, actually.
Yeah. Hold on, quick question: did you see his promo last week?
I did not.
See, that's why it wasn't interesting to me. It was the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
It was the exact same thing, and I mean, I liked it, but will somebody just knock on this man's door? Starting to piss me off. I guess just the second time I've seen it. I've been thinking about like candidates still go against Black. I can't think of anyone. Maybe Mustafa. I'm assuming yes, he's on SmackDown. Black. So Mustafa.
Right. Yeah, maybe. He is.
I would like to see Andrade win the Intercontinental Championship belt and then get in a feud with Black. That would be nice because Black, mm-hmm. Black, in my opinion, he's top five. Best wrestlers on the roster.
Is he better as a heel or a babyface? Would you rather see him as a heel or a babyface?
The thing about Black, and we mentioned this before, we never actually talked about this on podcast. Remember we were talking about tweeners, whatever, like how CM Punk can play both roles and still play it? That's how Black is. Black can be a heel. He can be a babyface, and still he can just
Which excel. Would you rather prefer him to be, though?
To be honest, I guess I
heel. Like for me with Punk, I'd rather have Punk as a heel.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Randy Orton better as a heel, but he's still a good babyface.
I mean, it's hard with Black, man, because in NXT, right. Black was he was sometimes a heel and sometimes a babyface. You never really knew. But at the end of the day, that crowd still cheered for Black, and that's what I loved about him. He was different. He was different. Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does. But, I mean, like I said, I didn't watch last week's promo, but I thought this week's promo was pretty good and how he got so fired up.
Yep.
But if it's the same thing, then, you know, that kind of ruins it. But, I mean, if he's a heel, then you can obviously have him go against someone as the means of Roman Reigns or, you know, just – it depends where they put him in the card. I mean, if you want him to be the next great superstar, you put him all the way up there.
Yeah.
It seems as though he can go against anyone. It's just whether or not he gets the machine around him and the machine behind him. That'll be interesting to see if Vince can get his hands on Aleister Black again before – or if Hunter can get his hands on Aleister Black before Vince does.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Vince hasn't done much with him. So maybe before Vince kind of buries him, Vince passes the company on to Triple H, and Triple H can get his hands on him and kind of bring him back to life.
Yeah, but – I mean, in my opinion, the most successful superstar that came out of NXT that Vince hasn't killed is, in my opinion, Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And some people say Finn Balor. I don't see Finn Balor. I don't really like him.
I mean, if you think about it, you can say that with Seth Rollins or anyone in the Shield.
Yeah. I'll give you that. More recently.
I say the original NXT guys were – they've kind of stayed.
Yeah.
But the past 2 years being called up has been terrible.
Been terrible, man.
But, I mean, if you think about it, Bray Wyatt was in NXT.
Yep.
Seth Rollins was in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro, NXT.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of, like, the original when NXT first changed.
Usos.
They went from the game show to the, like, the NXT it is now. I mean, Seth Rollins was the first champion, NXT champion, and I mean, he's been really on top since he got called up.
Absolutely. And
so, I mean, that's one guy he hasn't dropped the ball on. But then if you think Vince has dropped the ball on Shinsuke Nakamura, he's dropped the ball on Rusev, he's dropped the ball on who else?
I would say Finn. I would say as far as one, Asuka.
You know? Oh, absolutely. Asuka.
And the thing, they had it right with Asuka, and then all of a sudden, Asuka's losing. Why did Asuka lose to Charlotte Flair?
Yeah.
What was the point of that? So we can have two titles on Becky? Now Becky has one title. So what was the point? You know, it's like,
well, those were a full year apart too.
Yeah, and I remember the day that happened when Charlotte beat Asuka. Everyone on social media was like, "What the hell? What was that for?
It was too early.
It was too even. I think Alexa Bliss tweeted like, what is going on, you know? And
yeah, Charlotte didn't need that, but Asuka needed it. Exactly. That's the one thing Asuka had, gimmick-wise. Because she doesn't talk on the mic. She's great in the ring, and she lets her ring work do the work, or, like, do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
And being 170-0 or whatever the hell she was, did the talking for her. And now that she doesn't have that, there's no legitimacy to her. And, It's a shame. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we had the Goldberg promo responding to The Undertaker on Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Goldberg was here live on SmackDown. And, I mean, it was a typical Goldberg promo, you know, like with the "you're next" kind of thing. And But, I mean, it was pretty cool when Taker, the lights went out.
Mm-hmm.
Taker shows up in the ring. They kind of just stare at each other. Lights go out again, and Taker's gone. So, I mean, that was pretty just cool to see a stare down kind of thing. And we haven't seen that before between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just cool to see. This past week, they seemed to build up some of the older matches, like Taker versus Goldberg and Triple H versus Orton. I'm not very excited about Goldberg and Taker. To me, it's a money match for WWE over in that other country. And it's just, I don't know. They're both part-timers, so I don't have an investment in it.
Can you even call them that?
Exactly. But you know, Triple H and Orton, I've at least...
Exactly. Orton, we see them.
Orton's not part-time. He's not full-time, but he's not part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H, I mean, we still see him from time to time.
Yeah.
And plus, that rivalry is so good anyways. You can kind of go back to that whenever you need it.
Mm-hmm.
But Taker and Goldberg, I mean, we haven't seen Taker since... When was the last time you had a match? Was it last year at this time when he teamed up with Sean against the Brothers of Destruction?
I think so.
Or the opposite. It was Brothers of Destruction versus
Sean Triple and Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that was the last time Taker had a match because he didn't have one this year. We saw him on Raw the next night, but he didn't have a match at WrestleMania.
I mean,
I'm just not interested in Taker anymore.
I mean, the number one I was thinking, looking at was Goldberg looks like he's in shape. I don't think it looks like he's in a little bit of shape. Yeah. So
it has potential to be a good match, and I honestly hope they prove me wrong. It's just that I know neither of them are going to be there on Monday the next week.
Yeah.
Neither of them are going to be there on Tuesday on SmackDown.
Yeah. And
that's my issue, because it takes away Ricochet is now involved in the 50-man Battle Royal where he's just going to get eliminated 20 men in. Where he could have a match versus Cesaro, and we could see that for the fourth time.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
That's when I'm definitely going to turn it off.
But, I mean, that's just an example. Like, it just takes away from other superstars. Again, it sells tickets, but I'm looking at the long haul. You know, in 3 years, is Ricochet going to be a top-tier superstar, or is he going to be a mid-carder? Yeah. And a pay-per-view like this where Ricochet doesn't have his own match, you know, that's going to determine that. You know, that's going to be a big factor. When we look in 3 years, when we look back, that's when it went wrong. When he went against Cesaro 3 weeks in a row and then he didn't have a match. You know, so, I mean, I personally, I don't really like part-timers coming back. I think the only exception to that was The Rock and Cena. The first time. The second time I wasn't as interested in, but the first time was just pretty cool because it's the fact that we had a year build-up was never seen before. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, yo, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, I'm just not interested in part-timers. Like, Batista coming back. If Batista went against anyone else other than Triple H at WrestleMania, I would have been very disappointed.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. The match wouldn't have mattered.
But the fact that they've had beef in the past and whatnot, you know, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. But, like, when Batista came back 5 years ago at WrestleMania 30, and it was Orton versus Batista, that shit got booed out to the point where they had to put Daniel in that match to save that match.
Absolutely.
You know, like, that's just not interesting to me. Cause, and CM Punk said this the entire time. When CM Punk had to go against Taker at WrestleMania, I believe it was WrestleMania 29, because Taker lost at WrestleMania 30 before Daniel had his match. When CM Punk lost to Taker, CM Punk was like, so I'm going to lose to a part-timer that's not going to be there on Monday. Okay, what's next for me? Oh, I'm going to lose to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar's not going to be there the next week. What's next for me? I'm going to lose to The Rock. What's next? You know, CM Punk lost all these part-timers, and it's just not interesting.
And once again, that's, in my opinion, that's not Triple H is booking, you know?
No, not at all. It's Triple H does what Vince says.
Yep.
You know, to a certain extent, obviously. I mean, Triple H, I'm sure, he has a lot of leeway and a lot of say in everything, but to a certain extent. But, I mean, if Vince goes to Triple H and says, all right, I need you and Randy Orton to go against each other for the Super Showdown.
Yeah.
You know, Triple H isn't going to say no.
Right. And quick point before we wrap up and make our predictions. I watched this, show, not show, it had like a documentary, whatever you want to call it, documentary on Triple H. And when he was doing backstage with WrestleMania and NXT, you can tell Triple H was hands-on with NXT when everything he was doing. He was hands-on, and it was so cool to see, man, how everyone gathered around him, and Sean was right there with him while he was looking over the matches, how excited they were looking at the matches. And then he went on to WrestleMania to work with Vince when WrestleMania. Vince was right there, and you could just, it was a different look in his face working next to Vince. Like, you could tell Vince has so much control.
Right.
And one more quick thing. They was wrapping up the show, and Triple H was doing an interview, and Becky came behind Triple H, and she was like, I think I want to be called Becky Two Belts. And she said, Vince isn't going to like this. And then that right there showed me, dang, man. If Becky can't even get her way, you know, even though they still call her Becky Two Belts, imagine what them lower tier guys that got great ideas trying to push to Vince, and Vince just says no. You know? Just like, I know we didn't talk about it. I'm going to make sure we talk about this next podcast. Dean Ambrose interview with Chris Jericho. He talked about a little about how he had so many great ideas and Vince just didn't get it.
Vince just shot him down. And, like, Vince would come to Dean with his script for the night or whatnot. And Dean was like, yo, this is complete shit. And he would try to go to Vince, and Vince would just shoot him down. And
it's ridiculous, man.
You know, it's one thing, you know, if Vince is, you know, set on something, that's one thing. But the fact that Vince doesn't even really work with his superstars to kind of come to a happy ground, and like a middle ground, it's terrible. It's Vince's way or no way. It's Vince's way or you're fired or you're not on TV. You know, it's that bad. So hopefully, like I said, at the XFL coming up, hopefully that, you know, takes Vince kind of away from the business.
Hopefully.
I mean, you know, it's hard to say this because Vince literally built this from the ground up. He bought it from his dad, Vince Sr. His dad did build it up himself, and then Vince took it to the next level. And I mean, it's a global network, and, you know, it's the global superpower that it is today because of Vince. But it comes to a certain point where you need to get other people's opinions.
Exactly.
As CM Punk said himself, Vince is surrounded by douchebag yes men like John Laurinaitis.
Yep.
And, you know, no one's going to say no to Vince. You know, no one's going to stand up for themselves and say, no, Vince, this is shit. You need to do something else.
Yeah.
And props to Vince, but... Yeah. He needs to, you know, kind of branch out and have other people's opinions come in.
And quick point, I hate to make this comparison, but look what Tom Brady and Belichick and the Patriots are doing. They've been winning for so long, and you don't think Belichick switched up his game?
Right.
You know, obviously he was winning in the past, but now why do you think he's winning now? Because he listens. Right. He's listening to them offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators,
right,
trying to understand the new wave, you know, the new wave of what to do now. And now I think Vince needs to get out of his old ways, because there's no more Rock. There's no more Stone Cold. You know, you don't got those guys anymore. So
right,
hopefully he gets that.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do our predictions for this Friday's pay-per-view.
Yes.
So the first match we'll talk about. Now, these aren't in any order. I don't know how the card is going to start. I'm right. Sure Taker and Goldberg will be the main event. That's how they're hyping it up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is no ways of how the card will start and how it will end. But we're just going to go in this order. So up first on our list, we have Taker versus Goldberg. Who do you think wins that?
I got Taker winning.
Okay. How long do you think that match is going to be?
10 minutes and 22 seconds.
I think Goldberg wins with a spear to start off the match. Less than 2 minutes.
I'm not going to disrespect the dead man like that.
All right. I mean, I'm not expecting too much out of this match. I mean,
right,
it doesn't do good for either of them, whether they win or lose. I mean, if Taker loses, then it just makes Taker look bad. And Taker is already 90 years old and he can barely walk. I mean, are you going to bury him any more than you already did when he lost to Roman Reigns? So, yes. Well, whatever with that. Again, I'm not too interested in that. Neither of them are going to be there the next night, so I don't care who wins.
Yep.
I really don't. But up next, we have Triple H and Randy Orton going against one another. And who do you think is going to win that?
Like I mentioned before, after switching my pick, I got Triple H winning, because I think this is setting up something big for WrestleMania. I think Triple H is going to go against someone huge at WrestleMania. And I think he finally loses there, but he's not going to lose against Randy Orton. So I got Triple H.
Okay. Again, I have Triple H as well. I agree with you there. But the reason why I have Triple H is because if you look, when was the last time Triple H lost to someone that, like, just lost in general?
Yep.
Last year, who won last year between DX and the Brothers of Destruction?
Who won that match? Was it DX?
I believe it was DX.
Yeah, I believe it was DX. Yeah.
But Hunter was carried that match by Shawn, because Hunter tore his pec.
Yep.
In the beginning of that match, but that's not his fault. I mean, other than that, when has he lost? He beat Batista. Yeah. The only time I think he's really lost was when he lost to Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. Other than that, and he did lose to Ronda
at WrestleMania. The tag team match.
But I mean, other than that, you know, he doesn't, against part timers, he doesn't lose. I mean, he puts people over. He put Daniel Bryan over. He put Ronda over. He put CM Punk over, even though he beat CM Punk. Mm-hmm. That was a long rivalry, nonetheless. Yes. Whatever.
Real beef there.
Yeah. So I mean, I just see Triple H winning, but again, I think that's going to be a good 15-20 minute match.
Yep.
Hopefully, they get even more time. There's just a lot of storylines between that, and you know, there's a lot of history in that rivalry, so I'm always interested in that. But either way, I wouldn't mind Randy winning. I like Randy, and I hope this match too. I mean, Randy, if you think about it, since 2016, he hasn't done much since they unified the big gold heavyweight championship and the WWE championship. Randy hasn't done too much. So hopefully, you know, with this match, hopefully it'll bring out that aggressive heel side of Randy, you know, where he does things that, you know, you're kind of like, yo, he just did that to a human being.
No, Randy.
He just did a DDT off the second rope, go into the outside of the ring, not inside. You know, something like that, where, you know, Randy's like, yo, he has to be, like something has to be wrong in his head for him to try that.
Exactly.
So, I mean, hopefully that happens, because Randy in 2009 was so good to me. Randy versus Cena.
Oh, yeah. That was excellent.
So, hopefully, you know, Randy's a little more aggressive than he has been.
Yep.
And they kind of pull out all the stops, all the tricks out of their bag and up their sleeves and whatnot. That match has potential to steal the show, I think.
Yep.
But up next, we have Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I got Shane winning.
Somehow. Okay.
Yeah.
I got Roman winning. I think Roman's just too protected.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see him losing. It's just I'm not interested in this match either because it's a repeat of The Miz and Shane. So I'm
and that's the just reason. Like, that's the reason why I got Shane winning, because somehow, some way, he's beaten Miz twice.
Right.
So I think this is going to, his luck is going to continue to carry on. And this best in the world thing is starting to get popular with him. So why not beat who some consider the best in the world, which is non-wrestling fans, Roman Reigns, you know? So,
right. I'm just not invested in this match too much because it's a repeat. And that's what a lot of WWE is now, but especially with Shane, it's just dry.
Yeah.
And the fact that The Miz doesn't have his own match this coming Friday is freaking blows my mind.
Yeah.
He'll be in the 50-man battle royal.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do anything in it.
No.
Oh, isn't on our list, I don't have Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley.
Oh my gosh.
Who do you have in that?
I got Braun winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not interested in this match too much. I'm honestly not hyped for this pay-per-view. It's not that good.
It's not that good, man.
I think a big reason for that is because there's not a woman on it.
Oh, that can be, that's another reason.
But I don't know. I'm not very interested in this. But yeah, I have Braun winning too. Not too much going there. Up next, we have Seth versus Baron Corbin. Who do you think wins that?
Actually, I got Baron winning, and then Brock comes out and cashes in on Baron Corbin.
Okay. And you think they have a rivalry?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't
so
know.
So who does Brock go against after he cashes in and wins?
I think Burn tries to avoid that situation. Somehow he weasels out that situation.
So Brock doesn't cash in. Brock attempts to. Does the bell ring then?
I'm not sure. I think, I don't know, bro. This is one of the things that's really like, I like stuff like this where I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Right.
I do think Corbin wins this match, though. I do stick to that.
I think Seth wins and Brock cashes in on him. Or what I could see happening is Baron wins. Braun tries to cash in on Baron, and Seth costs Brock the match. Yeah. So Brock loses his money in the bank. And then we have Seth versus Brock, but without the title. And that gives Bray Wyatt the opportunity to come in for the title picture. Because no one else is in the title picture because Brock's not in the title picture anymore. Seth's not in the title picture anymore. Who's Baron going to go against?
Yep.
Bray Wyatt comes up.
Yep. I think you immediately throw him into the title contention.
That's what I'm saying. That gives you a perfect opportunity to, without having to worry about Brock.
Depending if he's on – I'm assuming he's going to be on Raw because the Firefly House has been on Raw. So yeah, I'm going to just say he's on Raw.
Did they show it tonight on SmackDown?
No, they didn't.
Oh, and then he's on Raw.
Yeah.
Okay. They've been showing it on both lately, but the fact that it wasn't on tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
So I believe, he's on Raw. Okay. So up next, we have Kofi versus Dolph. Who do you think wins that?
Kofi versus Dolph. I have Kofi winning. Kofi is on a roll right now. Kofi's been performing great, and he's been on the mic doing great. And I seen this thing on social media, like the worst pairing of heavyweight champions and champions. Like right now, Seth and Kofi is like a bad pairing. But I love Kofi right now. He's doing everything right, but it's something about Kofi that just doesn't give me enough. It gave me enough once he won it, you know. I think
a big thing is we're missing Big E.
I think that's what it is.
And because Kofi, if you think about it, Kofi didn't cut too many promos. Big E did most of the talking. And Big E was funny when he talked.
Yep.
Now Kofi's having to be more serious, and he's having to cut a lot more promos. Now Kofi's good on the mic. But I think Big E's better on the mic. And Big E was, you know, so good on the mic. And he was funny to the point where he would just have you dying laughing.
Yeah.
You know, when he did the splits, the fact that he was, like, trending on Twitter because he did the splits was fucking hilarious.
And what I was about to say, another thing about Kofi, and I think, and this is a long shot, I think what we were talking about before we even started doing podcasts, maybe they're building towards Kofi versus Big E.
I think eventually that could be a big thing.
That would be huge, man. We're talking about, I don't want to bring it up, Triple H and Shawn Michaels rivalry, how close right. they were, and how that rivalry was just top notch.
I think that could be something people get really invested to, and I think yes. that could make Big E one of the biggest heels.
And it's going to make
because it personal. Because Kofi's by far the hottest big baby face right now.
Yes, and it can be so personal. That's what I want to see. I want to see something personal. I want to see something right. personal. And that can be personal. This is Big E who's been around Kofi's kids. You know,
right,
this
can right. be
personal. And Big E can finally say, "This, you know, I want to be seen. I want the belt. I want the gold." And this would be a complete change up with what Big E is, but I believe Big E can sell this. And this
he used to be a heel, actually.
With Dolph.
Mm-hmm. They showed it tonight, actually.
How fitting would that be, though?
You know, it'd be interesting if it's Kofi versus Dolph.
Yep.
If Big E won. And I don't really like this idea, but if Big E cost Kofi the title, now that kind of takes away from the storyline a bit. So what could happen is Kofi versus Dolph, Kofi wins,
yep,
and Big E attacks Kofi afterwards.
That's why. But the attack would have to be brutal.
Brutal.
Blood got to be everywhere, and the odd man out. And I hate to do this.
His ex.
Yeah, he would have to be out. Xavier Woods had to be out for this to work.
He'd take Kofi's side, so you still kind of have him there. What you could just have him do is Big E just takes out, or Big E attacks Xavier Woods, and Woods is just kind of just out. Like, he's just not there. He's sidelined.
And maybe the following Tuesday, obviously, there'll probably be a match between Woods and Big E. Something like that. Dang, we always get off topic, but yeah, I would definitely love to see Kofi win this, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a great match because obviously Dolph is a great in-ring performer, but like Kofi said, I don't know if you've seen the Kofi promo, Dolph quits, man. He loves to quit when he don't get his way. Kofi didn't do that. Kofi's fucking up.
Right.
So hopefully Kofi wins, man. I got Kofi.
Yeah, I got Kofi winning too. I would like to see Big E turn on Kofi, but I don't know if I want to see him yet, though. I think I want to see Kofi and Big E in the New Day have one last run together.
Wait for it.
Yeah, and then maybe – I mean, that's literally a WrestleMania main event type match.
Ooh, boy.
So you don't even have to do it yet. You can do it in 6 months when WrestleMania is coming around again.
When Big E's completely healthy, yes.
Yeah, you don't even have to rush that.
That got me smiling just thinking about how personal that rivalry would be, man.
All right. Up next we have, and this is the last match that we have written down, is the 50-man battle royal.
Yes.
What do you think about this?
I believe, I mentioned this before, and I've been reading, like, I don't know the actual participants, but I've read that NXT superstars will be in this. So my two picks are going to be NXT superstars. I'm going to have two picks. Okay. I'm going to say I'm had Matt Riddle or Valentin Dream win this Battle Royale.
Now, Matt Riddle was rumored to debut this week, so.
Yeah. Actually, not debut, but he was supposed to, like, do something with Brock.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm hoping he does it, man, because he's a top talent, man. He's really good, and I know Vince is going to kill him, but I do got – NXT superstar winning this. I'm curious, who you think gonna win? I'm
really curious. Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, there's so many superstars in this match that it's kind of like.
Do you know the participants? Have you seen a list?
I don't know all 50, but I know it's It's literally every superstar that doesn't have a match tonight.
Exactly.
Or a match on Friday.
I mean.
So, I mean, I don't care for it anyways. What do you get when you win? Nothing.
Nothing.
Braun won it last year. He won a brand new title, and they didn't even have him defend that title. Like, that wasn't a title.
Even when Braun has a title, he still can't get over it with us, man. That's what's like, no, that title doesn't mean anything. You just throw it somewhere.
I mean, if it was like a number one contender kind of match, what it should be, if they have this every year, what it should be is you get the main event of SummerSlam.
Oh.
So you have the Royal Rumble in January, and that's the main event of WrestleMania. You have the winner of this match be the main event of SummerSlam. So that way it's actually worth something, so people get hyped for it. You know, like, for example, I don't care about this because I saw what they did last year with Braun winning it. It did absolutely nothing for Braun, and they did nothing with the title that Braun won. So what's the point? So if you throw that in there, that, okay, if you win this 50-man Battle Royal, you're the main event of SummerSlam. It's automatically worth something, and then for years to come, it's something people look forward to every year. I mean, people look forward to the Royal Rumble, one, because of the special returns. Two, because, you know, it shapes out the next 2 months in the main event of WrestleMania. Because the Royal Rumble is something where any superstar can win it, and that can elevate their game. I mean, think about it. Did Alberto win it?
Del Rio?
Yeah.
Did he have those?
I don't know. Did he win it? He won the Money in the Bank.
He won the Money in the Bank. And he also won the Royal Rumble.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So, like, he won it, and it elevated his career. Sheamus won the Royal Rumble, elevated his career. Cena won it. He didn't need to elevate his career, but, you know, it helped him out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something. It's an excuse for WWE to push someone. So you could have Aleister Black win the Royal Rumble, for example, and he's automatically a main event superstar.
Yep.
You don't need to do all the build up. So to me, I just don't care about this Battle Royal. There's not much going for it, and there's 50 people. That's a lot.
It's gonna be interesting to see who.
It's gonna be an hour and a half match.
Lord have mercy.
unless it means something, you know. And since Braun won it last year, if they had Braun actually have that title and use that title, you know, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that he won the title and he didn't even show up with it on Raw the next week, is it just hanging up in his freaking house?
The original belt? The whole event, just like this whole event, is just another money grab for Vince. Mm-hmm. He's not invested into this like Triple H is when he's invested to NXT.
It's just to get more eyes on the product out of the States.
Yep.
So.
And I'm pretty sure the reason for adding more matches, because AEW did so well with their pay-per-view. You notice how he kept adding matches. Matches kept getting added to the card, and
100%. Sorry. Anything else in this episode?
No, sir, man. No, so I wanted to let people know NXT is the best brand, and hope Vince trips. And so I hope y'all take away from this podcast.
Yeah, I'll just say my favorite wrestler right now is Cody Rhodes. That's enough.
That's what a lot of people are saying right now.
So. The fact that I'm interested in Cody and not anything in WWE says something.
Yep.
But I believe that's going to sum up this episode. Yep. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Our Twitters are twitter.com/Xfinity13 and twitter.com/MuttRock. We also post videos on YouTube, youtube.com/Xfinity13 and youtube.com/GAPNation. We do have the first episode of this podcast over on our YouTube, so be sure to check that out. You can get last week's recap and projections.
Yep.
And next week we will definitely be having our thoughts on this coming Friday's pay-per-view along with Raw and SmackDown next week. So make sure you tune in to next week, and we'll see you then.
All right. Holla at y'all.